If you've ever heard some atheists speaking, you will get the impression very quickly that they believe even asking the question, what is life all about, is just the most ridiculous question to even consider asking. Because life isn't about anything. What is life for? What do you mean? What is life for? It's not for anything. It has no higher purpose or meaning. We simply exist. We simply are what we are. Each one of us is no more than a tiny moment in the evolutionary process. And we play our tiny little part, and then we're gone. And that's it. There's nothing more to be said. There's no question to answer when you listen to some atheists speaking. But I find myself wondering, if that really is the case, if that is all that life is about, it just happened, it just continues, and there's no meaning, there's no purpose, there's no anything to question, why is anyone making any fuss at all about this man? Recognize his face? He's been on all the television news over the last 36 hours. That's James Holmes. That's the man who walked into a cinema in Aurora in America and gunned down innocent people just the other day. The last I heard, 12 dead, perhaps more. 60 or so injured, some of them very, very seriously. Why isn't his behavior just viewed as being part of the evolutionary process? Why does it matter what that man did? Just a more modern version of natural selection, is it? Just a new type of survival of the fittest, is it? If life has no meaning, if life has no real purpose, how come people don't think so when a loved one is at the end of such brutality? What about people like these next ones? Mourning over loved ones caught up in that disaster. They don't seem to think life has no meaning. They don't seem to think life has no purpose, do they? They know in their own conscience, and they know in their own soul, when you're faced with that kind of tragedy, when you're faced with that kind of evil, when you come face to face with that kind of brutality and that kind of loss, you know that this life has meaning. You know that this life has purpose. Who would walk up to them and say to them, what are you worried about? What are you snivelling over? That person was just one tiny moment on the evolutionary process. Life has no meaning. What are the tears for? Who would dare speak like that to people as they mourn over loved ones? We all know, when we're faced with certain realities in life, that there is a real question that's worth asking. What is life all about? What is the purpose? What is the meaning? Because we know when certain events happen, the truth and the reality behind those kinds of questions. We all know that there is something very, very special. There is something very, very particular about the miracle of life, which, as far as even science can tell us so far, though many scientists perhaps wish it wasn't the case, what is so special about the miracle of life as it is found on this tiny little planet in the midst of God's great universe. And as far as any scientist can yet tell us, this is the only place where such miraculous life can be found. Many of them hope that's not the case, and their quest to find it somewhere else out there continues. But what does make life on this little planet so very, very special? And what particularly makes human life so very, very special? Well, Nick Vujicic, who we've just heard from, despite his great disabilities, came face to face one day with a truth from God's word that stopped him in his tracks, made him realize where he'd been going wrong, and changed his life completely. He was talking about a story that you can read in the opening verses of John's Gospel in chapter 9. I've mentioned it actually within the last few weeks here. Here's a blind man who's been blind from birth. And the disciples of Jesus come to him. And they are wanting to know and have explained something that they've been taught by the rabbis all their lives. This man is blind because either his parents or he himself have committed some very specific sin, and this blindness is the result of that specific sin. That's what they've been taught. That's what the rabbis used to teach. And they want to know, well, whose sin was it? Was it his sin, or was it his parents' sin that have brought about this man's blindness? Well, Jesus answers their question, but as he often did, not at all in the way that they were expecting. They get an answer, but it's not the answer they were thinking they would get. And the answer he gives is the one that Nick quoted, that the works of God should be revealed in him. He actually says his blindness has got nothing to do with his parents' sin, and his blindness has got nothing to do with his own sin. His blindness is that the works of God might be revealed in him. And that's the most remarkable statement that Jesus comes out with, isn't it? What is life all about? Life is all about the works of God being revealed in us. That's what God made us for in his own image, that we might declare in the most marvelous way his works and his being and his person. We are the pinnacle of his creation. Something very specific about us, being in his image, that we might have this personal fellowship with him, that we have this soul and this conscience, that we might be aware of relationship and love and faithfulness and commitment and loyalty, and all those other things that go into relationship. But ultimately, it's that the works of God might be revealed by us, that we might live to God's glory. As we read in Psalm 86, that we might glorify God. The nations will glorify God's name, because he's great. He does wondrous things. He alone is God. I'll praise you with all my heart and glorify your name forevermore. God is the meaning of life. God is the purpose of life. And glorifying him is what life really is all about. Nick, in his testimony, said that for him, the most important thing was to have come to know and understand three important things. He needed to know why he was here. And he's come to understand that the reason he's here is to bring glory to God by loving God, by trusting God, and by proving God's mercy and grace in his life. By being whole and complete on the inside, and knowing the joy and the peace that comes from that. Maybe you're someone, and you too haven't yet found that joy and peace on the inside that you know you need. Well, it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was another thing that he said he'd found. He'd found that in the Lord Jesus Christ, his sins are forgiven. Not a specific sin. Because as Jesus answers his disciples in John chapter 9, he says, no, there's no specific sin that's the result, that's caused this blindness. The Bible does teach, though, that all of this world's problems, all of this world's ills, all of this world's difficulties are the symptoms of the broken world that we have damaged because of our sinfulness. Paul, when he's writing to the Romans in chapter 8, he says the whole of creation is groaning, waiting to be released from the corruption of sin. My sin has had an impact on all of God's creation. Your sin has had an impact on all of God's creation. And part of that impact is all the things that we see around us that we immediately know is wrong with the world. It really shouldn't be that way. It's not intended to be that way. And when we read how the Bible explains that God made the world, we know it wasn't that way once. But because of my sin, it is that way now. And so the whole of creation is groaning, waiting to be released from the corruption of sin. You're groaning, I was groaning, waiting to be released from the corruption of sin. Because the Bible says we're all caught up in that corruption. We've all sinned. There's none who are righteous. There are none who are in right standing before God. No one. We've all fallen from God's glory. What does that mean? It means that we've all fallen from the standard of perfection in which we were created. It means that we've all horribly disfigured in ourselves the image of God in which we were made, because we've rejected him. We've rebelled against him. We've ignored him. We've disobeyed him. We've broken his law. That moral code, which even though we know it's still there inside of us, because our conscience tells us what God's moral code is in its most basic form, and yet still we break it. Paul says to the Romans, they're without excuse. They may not have all of God's word like we do. They may not have heard the gospel like we have. But they all know in their conscience the basics of right and wrong, and yet they still choose wrong. They love darkness rather than light. It's what the Bible teaches, and we know in our own hearts that's true. I did love darkness rather than light. I did go against what my conscience would tell me. And so we all need to be rescued. We all need to be forgiven from our sins. We need to know why we're here. We need to know that we're here because God made us to live in fellowship with him, to love him, to glorify him, and to enjoy him. But we can't because of our sin. But God's provided a way out for us. We all need to be rescued from the penalty of sin, which in this life is physical death and all the horrible things that we have to put up with. And then after death, there's judgment to come. And we face God as a judge. And we will have to be giving an account for all of our sins, unless we're in Christ. Of course, when we start to mention things like sin and judgment and punishment and hell, many people think this is all very harsh coming from a God who's supposed to love us. People kick out at God because of the trouble that they see. They blame God for it, when all the time it's our fault. And of course, having blamed God for the trouble that is their own fault, they then refuse to listen when they're presented with the solution that God's provided. You talk to Christ, they don't want to know. They're happy to blame God for everything, but they don't want to know. Maybe there's someone here this evening, you do that. You'll blame God for everything. But let me talk to you about Jesus and your need of repentance and forgiveness. You don't want to know. But there comes a point where we have to start blaming God. Sometimes tragedies occur, like this next one. That's the scene from that man and woman who were killed in a mudslide over 2 weeks ago. And they weren't found for 10 days. And people begin to question God when stories like this begin to unfold. And people say all kinds of different things. For those of you who don't know the story, this is an older couple who'd gone for a meal in a restaurant. The weather was getting really bad. And when they'd finished their meal, rather than stay for the after-dinner coffee that they'd been offered, they decided against having coffee. Looking at the weather, no, we think we'll just start to make our way home. And so they skipped coffee and made their way home. The rain was lashing down. 5 minutes down the road, their journey took them through a tunnel. It's a couple of hundred yards long, underneath a hill. And on the far side of the tunnel, all the ground on the hillside above is being loosened and loosened and loosened by the pouring rain. And they drove through the tunnel, and at the exact moment as they came out of that entrance in their car, it was at that moment that the side of the hill gave way and came crashing down on top of their car. Hundreds of tons of rubble, all the stonework from the top of the bridge has all come away as well, crushed the car. The police never imagined there was a car buried under there. The thermal imaging cameras showed nothing. And people will say, well, what are the chances of that happening? Just think, if they'd stayed for coffee, if they'd only stayed for coffee, they'd still be alive today. What are the chances that just as they drove out of the tunnel, that's when the landslide caught them? What terrible luck, people say. The Bible says different to that. The Bible says different to that. The Bible says, because of sin, we will all die. We will. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns beforehand, we will all die. And we will all die because of sin. Even Christians die because of sin. We're forgiven our sins, but we still die because of sin. But the Bible teaches that every single aspect of our life is under God's gaze and under God's direction and under God's guidance. Every single aspect. Psalm 139 tells us that it is God who formed our inward parts. It is God who placed us inside our mother's womb. It is God who fearfully and wonderfully made us, with or without arms and legs. We were not hidden from God while we were in the womb being formed. And that God himself skillfully wrought us, skillfully put us together. Even before we were formed, God knew us. It uses the phrase that God saw our substance. God knew our soul. God knew our sinful state. God knew our need of salvation. and God loved us. It says that everything about us was written down in his book. Every last detail, even before we were formed, even before we were born, every last detail is known and recorded to the living God on high. Every single thing. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Every single day laid out before God's all-seeing eye and laid out according to his almighty power and laid out according to his almighty knowledge and decree. Every single day laid out before us. That day was laid out, written down in God's book, says the Bible. That's the God we have to deal with. We can cry that this somehow is a terrible tragedy, as if other deaths are less of a tragedy. Every death is the tragedy of sin. Is one death less of an issue than another? Is the loss of one life, however it happened, however it occurred, less of an issue than the loss of another life? And it's all because of sin. But the third thing that Nick Vujicic said that every Christian can echo, I know where I'm going. I know this life is going to be brief. I know this life is going to be short. For some of us, it's difficult. For some, it's going to be more difficult than for others. But it'll be brief and it'll be short. One day we will die. I don't know anything about that couple. I don't know if they were believers. I know they were going to one of two places. Do you know where you're going? Nick Vujicic knows where he'll be when the Lord calls him home. The Lord knows when that man's earthly pilgrimage is going to come to an end. Even now, it's all written down. The Lord knows. All his days are fashioned out for him. All yours are fashioned out for you. It's all written down by God. And when that final day arrives, there's one of two destinations. Do you know where you're going? Nick Vujicic does. Many people sat in the congregation this evening do. I do. Because of Christ. In Christ we can know the assurance of sins forgiven. In Christ we can know the assurance of life everlasting. In Christ we can know that yes, we have this earthly pilgrimage to run. And what an encouragement as Christians to know that all of our days are fashioned for us by the Lord. And written down in his book. No surprises. And what a wonderful joy to know that when our earthly pilgrimage comes to an end, because God gives life and God takes life, when he ends our days, if you're a Christian, he will take you to be with him forever. Christ has promised it. Christ himself will present you before his heavenly Father. Christ will present you by name. Christ will say to God the Father, this is one of the children that you've given me. This is one of ours for whom I died. This is one covered by my blood. This is one who wears my righteousness. This is one who's been pardoned and ransomed through my death at Calvary. This is one who has the promise of everlasting life, guaranteed because of my own resurrection from the dead. Into the power of an everlasting life. And Christ will welcome you blameless and spotless into the presence of God forever. Because of Christ. Do you have that assurance in your own heart? This is what life is about. Knowing God. Glorifying him. And enjoying him forever. That's why a man like Nick Vujicic can say it's far better to be a Christian without arms and legs and to have the assurance of all those truths than to have his arms and legs but be lost for all eternity. How many people out there would make the wrong choice? How many people would rather have the arms and legs but not have Christ? Well, arms and legs might not be an issue for you, but don't make that mistake. Choose Christ. Choose the better thing. Choose the best thing. Life has meaning. Life has purpose. And it's all restored to the Christian because of the redeeming work of Christ. I want to close by just leaving you with a few verses from 1 John and chapter 5. They'll come up on the screen. 1 John and chapter 5. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Will you walk out of this building this evening knowing that you have eternal life? Because in Christ you can know. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that Christ will forever be your hope and your joy, as we were remembering last Sunday evening. Do you have this hope? Do you know why you're here? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? And do you know where you're going? You can. I pray that you will. If you want to talk more about these issues, if you want some literature to read, please feel free to come and see me at the end of the service. What is life all about? It's about knowing God, glorifying him, enjoying him forever. And in Christ you may.